Today is the 29th day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is a joy to be here with you today. As we spend together the last couple of days of this month, we started this month strong. Day by day, step by step, we'll finish this month strong. So let's dive in. We're reading from the New Living Translation this week. Today, Daniel chapter 6. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, "Our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion." So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius. We are all in agreement. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked." So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about his law. "Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions?" "Yes," the king replied. "That decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked." Then they told the king, "That man, Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God three times a day." Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, "Your Majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed." So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles, so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world: "Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Second Peter 3. This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago, and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. More importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, "What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created." They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment, when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a horrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him, speaking of these things in all of his letters. Some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. and this will result in their destruction. You already know these things, dear friends. So be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to Him, both now and forever. Amen. Psalm 119, 129 through 152. Pay. Your laws are wonderful. No wonder I obey them. The teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand. I pant with expectation, longing for your commands. Come and show me your mercy, as you do for all who love your name. Guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. Ransom me from the oppression of evil people, then I can obey your commandments. Look upon me with love. Teach me your decrees. Rivers of tears gush from my eyes because people disobey your instructions. Tzad. O Lord, you are righteous and your regulations are fair. Your laws are perfect and completely trustworthy. I am overwhelmed with indignation, for my enemies have disregarded your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested. That is why I love them so much. I am insignificant and despised, but I don't forget your commandments. Your justice is eternal, and your instructions are perfectly true. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Your laws are always right. Help me to understand them so I may live. Kof. I pray with all my heart. Answer me, Lord. I will obey your decrees. I cry out to you, rescue me that I may obey your laws. I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in your words. I stay awake through the night, thinking about your promise. In your faithful love, O Lord, hear my cry. Let me be revived by following your regulations. Lawless people are coming to attack me. They live far from your instructions. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. I have known from my earliest days that your laws will last forever. Proverbs 28, 21 and 22. Showing partiality is never good. Some will do wrong for a mere piece of bread. Greedy people try to get rich quick, but don't realize they're headed for poverty. Okay, so we just concluded 2 Peter in our New Testament reading today. And as the letter concludes, we see pretty clearly the apocalyptic worldview of the first century. A general feeling that continues to exist until today, and a problem that was introduced because of this worldview, and how this was addressed. So a basic Christian apocalyptic worldview would be that the world is going somewhere, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, but it will get better, but it will get worse, way worse, before that happens. A new era is coming, the world is changing, but in the end there will be rescue and essentially a new heaven and a new earth. This idea, this sort of sense of the overarching themes here, were involved in Jesus' ministry. He spoke on these kinds of things as well. And he spoke of the immediacy of the kingdom of God, like it's within you, it's among you, it's happening now. This was part of the attraction to the faith originally, because it was taught that Jesus' arrival, his return, wasn't going to be spaced out over thousands of years. It was imminent. He went away to prepare a place. He's coming back. And so whatever you're facing or whatever you are enduring right now is momentary. It will pass away. But the idea is it will pass away quickly, very, very soon, imminently. And this was so much throughout the early churches that even in other letters, we see people who are quitting their jobs to wait for Jesus' arrival. They don't need to work anymore. And so they were told, if you're not going to work, then you're not going to eat. So, and we've seen this stuff even until today. So this apocalyptic worldview still exists with us today. This is underneath it all how we feel generally. This is going somewhere and it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. So this view arises in 2 Peter, and it's not the only place, but in 2 Peter and what we read today, and presents a problem. People have believed, and they have waited, and they are enduring, and it is getting worse, and Jesus isn't coming, at least in the time frame that they had assumed. And so people were beginning to fade into the woodwork, to disappear, or to turn back into regular Orthodox Judaism. Because what it was starting to feel like is, it's only getting worse, but there is no rescue. He's not showing up when he was supposed to. Maybe we're not believing the right thing. If we just think about what I just said, we realize that we end up at these crossroads ourselves. Maybe for different reasons, maybe now 2,000 years into the future, we understand that the arrival of Jesus will come when God wills it, but our assumptions about it aren't going to change anything. But we do have expectations of God. We are believing for something or to be rescued from something, and we're waiting and we're enduring. And if he doesn't show up when we expected him to, then we are faced with the same kind of confusion that leads us to fade. The people that Peter is writing to, they were not looking for a distant future arrival of Jesus. They were looking for an imminent arrival of Jesus. And that wasn't happening. And so Peter addresses this. And so I quote, "I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, 'What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created.'" And so that's a setup of the problem, and here's how Peter responds to the problem. "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." So essentially what Peter is saying to these people who are discouraged that what they thought was going to happen has not yet happened and doesn't look like it's going to happen, Peter essentially says, this isn't about God's tardiness. This is about God's patience. And then he explains 1,000 years is like one day to the Lord. So if we, in the modern era right now, take that metaphor, then it's only been a couple of days for the Lord since this was said. So Peter's trying to say, hey, you have to look with a God's eye view here of time. That's one thing that he's saying. But he's also saying, look, this isn't really about you. You are redeemed. You are saved. What you are longing for is the reward of that. But what's happening is you are being a witness and enduring what you are facing, which makes you a light, so that many more may also have an experience of the redemption that you are feeling and will be included in the end of all things and rewarded with eternal life. So you being patient is collaborating with God in his own patience with the people of the world. Certainly God could come today, separate the sheep from the goats, destroy all of the evil, and fix everything around us. That could happen, but his patience is such that he loves the people who are destroying themselves and hopes for their redemption, their choice to turn and repent and follow him. And they won't know how to even move in that direction if you don't stay here as a city on a hill, as the salt of the earth, as the light in the darkness. If you don't stay here as a testimony, if you don't stay here and endure and rise above it and model that there is a better way to be a human being, then they won't know. So your impatience is actually flying in the face of God's patience. And so he's essentially inviting us to get on board with what's really happening here. Our endurance is part of God's work. It's part of our collaboration in God's work. Our endurance and our testimony are how these people that he loves will find a path to him. And that should change the dynamic of a lot of things. That should, at bare minimum, force us to look at our discomforts and our impatience and our expectations and at least reframe them to the point that we begin to see that maybe we are actually collaborating with God. And maybe the word of our testimony and the light of our life, maybe it actually matters. Maybe it actually matters a lot. And maybe we should pay attention to our impatience. Maybe we should pay attention to the way that we behave toward one another. Because this is the word of our testimony. The weightiness of our lives, the way that we live, this is our testimony. Is it saying anything good about Jesus? Is it compelling in any way to somebody that's within our sphere of influence that doesn't know Jesus, but that Jesus loves deeply? Because we may be the one in proximity. And it may not be that we have to go hand them a tract or walk them down the Romans road. Maybe we just have to live true, revealing that we have found a different way to be in this world. One that is permeated with love. One that is open-handed and patient. So some things for us to think about as we approach the end of another month, and as we certainly reach the conclusion of 2 Peter. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. We think that if we keep our mouths shut, we're not really saying anything, which isn't true. We're still saying volumes with the way that we live out the convictions that we have. the way that we live into this faith and walk with you. And there isn't a day we couldn't repent of something. We understand that we fail. The important thing is that you are patient. And we know that. You have been so patient with us, but we haven't in turn been patient with the people of this earth that you love. We just want you to come and fix it and eradicate evil and get us out of here and make things right. And we do long for those things. But help us to have a sense and an awareness that we are collaborating with you. We are the witness. We are the light. You are using us to tell the people of the earth that there is a better way. And this is going somewhere, and rescue is available before it's too late. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us to realize the importance of our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website. It's where you find out what's going on around here, so check it out. It's Christmas time in the city, so there's plenty going on around here. First up, Christmas time. A brand new Global Campfire Christmas album. And this brand new resource was produced and arranged and performed by my son Maxwell, who has, well, he's been around his whole life, of course. He's my son, but he's been around here since he was a little kid. He spent several years doing Daily Audio Bible Kids and has pursued music as his passion for all of his childhood and into his young adulthood. And I'm very, very proud of this record. It's one of my favorite contemplative Christmas records. And I'm a bit of a Christmas music buff. I have an awful lot of Christmas records that I've collected since I was a child. Something about certain records that you can put on. Like, there's the festive ones, certainly, for parties and for decorating. But there are also records that allow you to relax and unwind and just have the Christmas lights on, maybe a fire in the fireplace, and just unwind. And this is one of them. And so, Christmas time, this new album is available for pre-order right now. It will fully release on Wednesday, the 1st of December. But when you pre-order, you get pre-order pricing, but also 3 of the 10 tracks immediately. And it is available for pre-order now in the iTunes store for Apple devices and in the Amazon Music store for those devices. And then it will begin rolling out worldwide to all the digital outlets beginning on Wednesday. But take advantage of pre-release pricing. And by the way, all the resources that we've talked about and that we ever will talk about, all of these resources have been created specifically for the community here as we move through the scriptures together. And all the resources that are purchased, all of that, all of it goes to support everything that makes the Daily Audio Bible: server costs, bandwidth costs, development costs, all of the things that bring this here every day. So hopefully you can check them out. Number 2, Daily Audio Bible Christmas Box 2021 is available now. And we've packed it full of resources like we do every year. The God of Your Story, a copy of The God of Your Story, is in the Christmas box this year. The Daily Audio Bible Journal 3.0 is in the box. Global Campfire Candle, that smells like a campfire, is in the box. The Daily Audio Bible 2021 Christmas Ornament, with our word for the year mend, is in the box. Then you'll have your choice of either Daily Audio Bible Blend Coffee, roasted in Colorado, or our Honey Bush and Rooibos tea that we've sourced. So either Wind Farm tea or Wind Farm coffee, you get to pick based on what you like to drink. A Global Campfire pop socket is in the box. Two Global Campfire stickers are in the box. Five frameable Global Campfire postcards are in the box. And we are also, while supplies last, including a mystery item from the vault. And you can see all of this at dailyaudiobible.com in the shop in the Christmas section. And then number three is our brand new long-coming book, Promised Land, Photographs from the Land of the Bible. This marks book number five for me. Although this one is very, very different and communicates very, very differently than just written page only. I mean, if a picture tells 1,000 words, then there's a lot of words to be told as we gaze into the land and the terrain where the stories in the Bible happened. And it's beautiful. It is beautiful. The craftsmanship is beautiful. But it also takes us into each of the different regions of the land of the Bible. So, for example, the wilderness. So much of the Bible happens in the wilderness. You can look at what that actual wilderness looks like, or the Galilee. Right? We know that that's where Jesus did his ministry, but it's a big region. It's a lush, fertile, beautiful region that is so drastically different than the wilderness or the desert that you would have a hard time believing they're only a couple hundred miles apart from each other. Or there's the coastal region. Modern Israel's western border is the Mediterranean Sea. Or the lowlands, also known as the Shephelah, where important stories in the Bible like David and Goliath happened. Or the central northern region where the ruins of ancient Shiloh exist. Shiloh, this is the place where the tabernacle rested permanently for nearly four centuries. It was the capital before Jerusalem. But then there's also an entire section for Jerusalem, because there's probably not a city with more biblical heritage in the world than Jerusalem. So Promised Land, Photographs from the Land of the Bible, is available now in the Daily Audio Bible shop in the Christmas section. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, well, first of all, thank you. Humbly, thank you. If the mission here to continue to read the Bible fresh every day and give it to whoever will listen to it and build community around that, what we call the Global Campfire, if that is meaningful and brings life and good news into your life, then thank you. As we approach the end of the year, thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible community. This is Diane Olive Brown calling from, and I'm from Newburgh, Indiana, but I'm at Beaver Island right now. And it's the day before, it's Thanksgiving Day, but I'm listening to the reading from the day before Thanksgiving. And community, please pray for me. because I had a dream where my Uncle Don, he moved to heaven recently, gave me a hug, and he said, go see your Aunt Annette and give her this hug. But my husband and my stepmom and my family don't want me to go. I feel like God has called me to go give her a hug for my Uncle Don. They're saying you can do it on Zoom. My sister's saying you can't see my son, Andrew, who has. It hurts. When I can't do what I want to do. And it's been such a nice trip with Mom. But I shared things with her about my birth mom that I don't think I should have shared. Family, please pray for me. Because I want to be a light to the people here.
Hi, Nita. This is Ashley from California, and I want to come on here, and I just want to first and foremost say I am so sorry if no one has told you, but my heart broke for you, and I want to let you know that first I am praying for you. I am praying for strength, I am praying for wisdom, and I am praying that our God who counts our tears comes and comforts you and blesses you. And that is first and foremost what I'm praying for. But then I also want to respond to your request to pray for Robert. And I am praying for Robert that God would humble him. I ask that God would convict him and bring him to a place of confession and repentance, that he would come to a place where he wants to be done with this addiction. And I am praying, and I ask, like praying and asking God that he would reveal the lies and hurts that Robert has in his heart. And Nita, I want you to know that there are people out there that are also going through this, and you're not alone. And there are ministries that can help you and that can walk with you through this season. So I love you, and I'm going to be praying for you and praying for your husband and asking for God to just sweep through and that he would be glorified in what work is done in your house. And I just wanted you to know that, and I'm grateful that you called in, and I'm grateful that you called in on Thanksgiving. So I'm praying for you, Nita. Love, Ashley from California.
Happy Thanksgiving, Dad family. This is Danny from Southern Oregon. Today I want to give thanks for all of the faithful husbands out there who wash their wives with the Word of God, the husbands who pray with their wives, who lead their families according to Scripture, who teach their children about the love of God, who read Scripture with their wives. They just take their wings like God does with us and cover their wives and protect their wives. And it's so unusual for me to see anymore. And I can't help but think that this world would be such a better place if more men stood up and surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ and led their families according to the way God's set up the family. And so those of you wives who have husbands like this, oh man, you have such a treasure. I hope that you honor and respect that husband of yours and just let him know how wonderful he is, because he is submissive to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, anyway, have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. I love you. Bye.
Hi, Daily Audio Bio family. This is Renzo in Florida. And I just want to ask for prayer today, just like prayers for my family. My family's going through a lot of stuff right now. My mom has an ear ulcer that's just, the doctor said that basically that it just needs to get better, hopefully, and it could turn into cancer. So I just pray that it doesn't. And if you guys could pray for that, and if you could just pray for my dad as he's trying to find a job, because he lost his job later October, and he's trying to find one right now, and just let him to just be able to find one. And if you could pray about that, and if you could pray for my family, there's been a lot of struggles with our house and stuff breaking and stuff. So if you guys could pray for that, and if you could pray for me as I'm growing in my relationship with God, and I've been trying to find time to get caught back up on Daily Audio Bible because I'm behind. I've been behind for a couple weeks now, and it's kind of getting me upset, but I just have to realize that, you know, got to keep going and got to keep spending time with the Lord because it's very important. And if you guys could just pray about that and just pray for me and my walk, and pray for my street evangelism ministry. It's starting up. I've been getting people together. If you guys could just pray that the harvest is plentiful. And thank you guys. Bye. Have a blessed day. Jesus loves you. I love you too. Bye.
Hi guys. My name is Crystal, and I'm calling and asking for prayer. For prayer warriors out there, my heart is just breaking. My family is broken. My husband is living with another. I'm still standing for my marriage, my family, my kids, standing in the gap and loving them and doing my best. Thanksgiving was so hard, especially at nighttime when I hear my kids crying. I just ask for endurance and strength in Christ this Christmas season to make it through and to shine right, shine with God's love to my kids, just to teach them morals, integrity, faith in Christ, and to persevere and to live a happy life regardless of my circumstances, because God's in control and God has this. I'm just asking for restoration of my husband's soul, our marriage, and our family. And if my prayer warriors out there can help me, I would greatly appreciate it. Again, my name is Crystal. My husband is Chris, and we have our children. I thank you so much, and I enjoy this time with Brian and listening to everybody out there. I love it, and I lift all of y'all up in prayer. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.